Hello and welcome to this National Life Skills Academy podcast, part of our series of short introductions to essential life-worthy skills to help guide your way. So sit back and enjoy.
So I'm now going to talk to you about driving. I imagine all of you will take driving lessons at some time or other. Let's just talk about the essence of learning to drive and risk mitigation. Driving really is the epitome of life skills, with the emphasis being on life. This is probably the most useful, important, and dangerous skill you'll learn as you move from your teenage years into adulthood. Now, you know that we have a little booklet called The Highway Code. You can buy it in Smith's or in any good booksellers. I think it costs about £4.90 or something. This is our official guide to the rules of the road and the law to keep you safe and others safe on the roads in the United Kingdom. The first thing you will need to do is go through and learn the Highway Code, the different road signs and shapes and colours, what their markings mean on the road, and the law, so that you keep out of trouble. And this you will put into practice every moment you're in a car when you're driving. Now, you know, of course, that in the past, most people learned to drive with a gear shift, a gear stick, so a manual vehicle where you manually change gear by pushing down on a clutch with your left foot and moving the gear lever into the next gear up or down. Like, for example, when you move away, you start off in first gear, which is a slow gear, but it's high revving, and that engine sound gets noisy, which tells you when you need to change up into the next gear, second gear, where the engine will be less noisy, less revvy. And then the speed will take you up to maybe 10, 15 miles an hour. And then as you move along, you change up into the third gear, where the speed might take you up to 30 miles an hour. And then into the fourth gear, for speeds of maybe up to 50 or 60. And conversely, down again when you slow down. So there's a reverse gear for going backwards. Now, you know all of this stuff. It's exactly the same as using the gears on a bicycle, but we use a clutch pedal to depress, what we call push down, depress the clutch. That stops the engine from being into contact with the wheels. It separates the two. You'll roll downhill and pick up speed if you depress the clutch and you're not using the engine. But gravity will take over and pull you down the hill. But this is getting into a technological aspect that we don't actually need to go into here. This is what your driving instructor's for. The other vehicles that I've been using since the 20s are automatic cars, where there are no gear changes necessary. The car does it all for you. And because of the new electric cars and the changes in the technology of our gearboxes, then soon all cars on the road will be automatic. It makes it easier and generally safer for us, with the vehicle that enables automatic shifts and allows us to concentrate more time on the road ahead and the next potential hazards. So, we have the manual vehicle and the automatic vehicle. And it's important to understand that if you take a test in an automatic car, you will not have a license for a gear shift, a manual vehicle. But if you take the test in a manual vehicle and pass it, you will automatically have a driving license for the automatic car. There are many things to worry about when you're driving. I'm just going to go through a couple of the very basics, and then we'll get into the wider aspects of how you drive from a reactive perspective. So the first thing your driving instructor will do with you is sit you in the driving seat that's on the right side of the car properly. Not comfortably, but properly. And there's a difference. You're possibly used to lounging in the passenger seat and looking out of the side windows or reading or having headphones on, listening to music. Whereas now, you're in the right side of the vehicle. You're in the driving seat, literally. You will not be looking out of the side windows at the trees that are going past or into shop windows. You'll be looking forwards and sideways all around you. You will have eyes in the back of your head to keep yourself and others alive. So you need to be far enough away so that in a manual car, you can depress the clutch pedal down to the floor with your left foot. Your right foot will remain in line with the brake pedal, the middle pedal, the primary pedal, and your toes will swivel out to the right to the accelerator pedal, some call it the gas pedal, with gas as in petrol. Generally speaking, ideally we keep our right foot in line with the brake and our heel on the floor resting just in front of the brake, and we move our toes out to the right a few inches, swivel them down to the right to press on the accelerator pedal to get going faster. But our primary and most important pedal is the brake, and you never bang your foot on the brake. You always press it firmly if necessary and consistently. You don't go bang on the brake pedal. Even in an emergency, you don't do that. The car could easily lose traction with the road. The rubber of your tyres might skid on the road surface and you will lose control of the vehicle momentarily. But if you're on a wet road, you could lose your vehicle control for quite a long time and get into serious trouble. That's the importance of a correct, proper seating position. You now put your hands at the top of the steering wheel with your thumbs together. Are you reaching forward? Can your thumbs touch without you stretching your arms? Because there should be a slight bend on your elbow. Now you may need to bring the back of the seat up a little here so that your shoulders come closer to the steering wheel. It's probably a bit more upright position than you think. The next thing to worry about are the mirrors. And you have three of those in front of you. One in the middle of the windscreen for the back window and one on either side of the vehicle called the wing mirrors. Now they should be properly aligned whenever you get into the car to drive, but your driving instructor will help you align them so that you negate blind spots. These are the areas around the car that you cannot see into. You have to move your head slightly, 4 or 5 inches in each direction, to look around the pillars on the windscreen, the blind spots on the left and right. So for example, at a junction, when you're waiting to pull out onto a major, faster road, it's so important that you sit in the driving seat properly and you're leaning to look around your blind spots. You're actually moving your head all the time, right, left, right. Vehicles are coming from the right, they're the nearest to you. Right, left, and right again. Now remember this, because your instructor might not tell you. You're waiting at a quiet minor road to pull out onto a major road, left or right. You must remember that when you look right down the road and then left down the road and then right down the road, can you judge the speed of oncoming vehicles? You're not looking in front of you because your eyes automatically close every time you move your head. Think about that. Every time you move your head, you close your eyes. Otherwise, you'd be like a video turning, facing everything and running around the place. You'd soon start feeling sick with vertigo. Now, that means that when you look right, left and right again, you're not looking in front of you. So actually, you need to look right, ahead, left, ahead, right, ahead, left. It's very important. You must know what's straight in front of you. And then there's vehicle insurance. So before we drive, we have to make sure that we have correct vehicle insurance. Now, there is something in insurance called third party, which is a bit cheaper, which means if you hit something, your insurance company, if you're in the wrong, should pay up for the other damage to the other vehicle. But if you have fully comprehensive insurance, it means it'll pay up, or should pay up, for both damage to that vehicle and your own vehicle, if you were at fault. If they were at fault, then the insurance company should pay up from them, if they have insurance. Having insurance is so important in life that we'll talk about it in another podcast. Life insurance, insurance for loans, insurance on your house. Essentially, it's the percentage of risk involved in somebody of your age and inexperienced driving, the risk of them having an accident in certain situations. If you think about the best part of a ton of a vehicle, down the road at 60 miles an hour, you could cause some serious damage. So insurance is not something you should skimp on. You should always make sure you can afford proper insurance with a reputable and established company before you get into drive. Now, we can't get into the ins and outs of driving here, obviously. That's for your instructor. But I just want to talk about some of the more important things your instructor will be watching for every day. So, for example, observation. You need to be aware of what's going on around you, not just in your immediate vicinity, those few meters around you, but also perhaps on what's going on 100, 200 meters in front of you, to give you advanced warning of what could happen. Now, it'll take you longer to stop on a wet than a dry road, even with good quality tyres. Even if you're wide awake and alert to traffic conditions, you still need to brake gently to come to a stop on a road surface that could be greasy or wet or have gravel on it. So you need to be aware of what's going on in front of you so that you can bring your car down from the speed of maybe 50 or 60 miles an hour to zero without it being uncomfortable for your passengers and without the risk of the rubber tread on your tyres leaving the surface of the road. And this is what is a skid. When your rubber of the tyres is no longer in traction with the road, but begins to lose traction and skid, even sideways maybe, you lose control of the vehicle. There's nothing you can do. I always remember my first driving lesson. I think it was my 17th birthday with my father in his car. And he told me, just remember this. They're not all idiots. They're all bloody idiots. And I think that's held me in good stead and kept me safe for the last 40 years that I've been driving all over the world in cars and motorcycles, from Japan to the Middle East to the US and back here again. Let's talk about reversing. People learning to drive often have a problem with reversing and steering. They oversteer, they do too much steering as if they were going forwards. Maybe they turn the steering wheel too far or too quickly. And the reason for this is that by going backwards, the wheels that turn the vehicle are now at the rear, the back of the vehicle, like a boat. The steering mechanism, the rudder of a boat, is at the back of the boat. So when you twist the steering wheel, nothing happens for a moment. And you overdo it, and then suddenly the vehicle will be yanked left or right quite sharply. And that's why steering a boat is a very exacting skill. And reversing a car is a very exacting skill. You must be very careful how you use it when you're reversing and what you're looking at. Now, driving instructors used to teach you to twist, to put your back onto the door. So twisting to your left in your seat so that you can see through the back windscreen. Put your right hand at the very top of the steering wheel, assuming your wheels are straight. Put your right hand at the very top of the steering wheel at 12 o'clock. Look through the back window. And I think the secret to clutch control in a manual car and to reversing is to learn them both at the same time. Okay, get the vehicle with your instructor on a straight, open, wide road, a quiet road where there's no junctions. And just practice parking on the left, a bit further out from the curb than usual, maybe half a meter. Twist in your seat, select reverse gear, look through the back window, get comfortable as you can, get as comfortable as possible. Put your right hand at 12 o'clock on the steering wheel. Your left hand could be on your leg or over the back of the passenger seat. And slowly bring up your clutch in the manual until you feel the car begin to judder. Then push the clutch back down again half an inch with your toes. And you'll feel the judder stop. Bring it back up again and hold it in that judder. Just hold it there and wait. It's all very slow and gentle. You should never be reversing a car any faster than a walking speed. Now bring the clutch up slowly, the thickness of perhaps 2 or 3 pennies, and then hold your toes still again. The car will slowly begin to move. And then without you doing anything, on a level road, it will begin to move a bit quicker. At that point, you should push the clutch down again a few millimetres, at the thickness of a few pennies, then bring it back up again a few millimetres. And we are literally talking about the thickness of a few pennies. And this is what makes clutch control so difficult. You don't need to take your foot completely off the clutch when you're reversing. You can control the speed up to about 10 miles an hour with just the clutch. So get used to utilising the clutch pedal up and down, constantly to control the speed when you're reversing. And if you need time to think, or you need time to steer, clutch down. And when you've done the steering, bring the clutch back up again into those pennies. And I'm talking about reversing in a straight line, slightly in and slightly out from the curb. If you want to move away from the curb very slowly, push the clutch down a bit, push your hand away from the curb. That's to the right, maybe 12:05. And wait to see what the car does. Clutch up again slowly, looking back through the road through the rear glass. If you want to come back in again, slowly clutch down, push your hand back up to 12:00. Bring your clutch back up again. Bring your hand down to about 4 or 5 minutes to the hour. So you're pushing your fist towards the curb a little bit. Bring the clutch back up a little bit. Clutch down, clutch up, clutch down, clutch up. That makes learning to use the clutch and the car quite a painful process in reverse. It's much easier, of course, without a clutch in an automatic car. Stopping distances. Stopping distances mean that you take your foot from the accelerator, the gas pedal, your toes come across and push down on the brake to stop the vehicle. If you can do this with your heel in line with the brake and just pivot your toes across and squeeze down, then you keep the car very much safer because your stopping distance from the time you reacted to the time the vehicle stopped is less. If you're lifting your leg or foot from the accelerator and taking your toes over to the brake by dropping your leg on the ground again, you could double your stopping distance. So instead of 20 metres, it could be 40 metres. And it's too late by then. That child has already stepped out from between the parked cars. That car is already coming out of the junction. That cyclist didn't stop at the give way line and came straight out in front of you. So please, try to remember to be the safest you can drive with your toes in line with the brake. Pivot your toes outwards to the accelerator pedal on the right. And that doesn't matter whether you're in an automatic car or a manual. It's exactly the same. Now, risk management is another podcast. But risk management on the road means every moment, every split second that you're in the car, you're looking for the next hazard, the next danger, that next accident. You're constantly on the lookout for those idiots. And they're coming at you from all directions. Now, you've seen it when you're in the passenger seat, but your driver has kept you safe all of these years. So please, bear in mind that most of the learning to drive, yes, vehicle control is hugely important, but it's basic control with excellent observation and recognition of potential risks, dangers, hazards, and taking the decisions and actions necessary to avoid those hazards. That's what driving's all about. It's about keeping you safe every minute, every moment, every split second that you're moving the vehicle. Okay, those are just some of the essentials I wanted to get across. To see where the next accident is coming from, and it's not way up the road. Look under the parked cars if you're driving up a road, and you can see cars parked on either side of the road. The cars on the left, the cars on the right. Look 3 or 4 car lengths ahead under the wheels of the parked cars because you will see a foot. You will see the wheels of a pram or feet before you see the child or the pram that's pushed out in front of you, and you've still got that extra couple of seconds to stop. You cover the brake, you depress the brake. Keep your heel in line with the brake. Squeeze your toes downwards. That's the important factor about looking ahead. You'll find later that you look under vehicles that are ahead of you, especially on a wet road. You'll notice later when you've got more experience that you look through their windscreens and you look under the car in front of you when they're on the brow of a hill because you will see things coming earlier. I'll give you an example of this. You're driving through a town. You see a bus way ahead. It seems like a long, long way up the road, 20 cars between you. Then you see the bus slowing down. Slowing down is pulling slightly to the left, and you know that in 5 or 6 seconds you're going to have to stop, because every car in front of you, one by one, will be slowing down as that bus stops at the bus stop. But you noticed it with seconds to spare, because you're looking way up to infinity up the road. Your hazard perception is increasing in quality as you learn, as you spend more hours driving. So, choosing a well-experienced and established driving instructor, listening to what they've got to say, using your common sense, and treat everybody as if they're bloody idiots. Thank you. Stay safe. Look out for our other podcasts on safety, risk and insurance. And I'll speak to you again soon. Bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope you found that to be informative, and you'll sign in to listen to others in the series. We look forward to any requests or feedback. See you again soon.